SMQBs, this is episode 191. There's only two of us here, Rooster. It's a little lonely, huh?
I don't know. I think this could be the best one we've ever done.
Oh, I think for sure. There's definitely lots of opportunity here. So, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
I am bringing John Mara to the bar, one of the owners of the Giants. I'm going to sit him down. I'm going to say, what does it take to get fired by you? And why haven't you fired Joe Shane yet? I mean, I'm just dumbfounded by the ineptitude for the last two GMs, from the last two GMs the Giants have hired. I mean, if you think about it, Joe Shane inherited Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones and Xavier McKinley from the last GM, who was so bad he got fired. But those were, you know, right, three kind of marquee players, with Jones being the worst. I mean, they passed up Josh Allen to draft Daniel Jones. I couldn't believe it at the time.
Oh.
And the decision was made by Shane and Daboll to extend Daniel Jones, even though he had a horrible season the year before. And gave him so much money that they couldn't afford to keep Saquon or Xavier McKinley. So now Saquon Barkley is probably going to be MVP. He leads the league in yards per game. He just set an Eagles record for rushing yards in one game at 255 yards last night. And Xavier McKinley leads the league for the Packers in interceptions. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones just got dumped unceremoniously for nothing. And the Giants have gotten zero in return for each of those three players. It's just a catastrophe.
That is really staggering.
It's a catastrophe. And then to make matters worse, they told Tyrod Taylor they weren't going to keep him, and he was their backup last year. And they plucked Drew Locke away from the Seahawks with a guarantee that he would at least be Jones's backup.
Right.
Dump Jones and start Tommy DeVito over Drew Locke. I mean, what's the message now to future free agents? Why would you come to this shit show?
What was the reason for that?
No idea, other than we're in full tank mode and don't want to risk winning a game.
Well, you know, let's stick with this for a second. I'm just going to mention my bar Padres this week, and then I want to jump back into this with the tanking. I was going to bring Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc to the bar because I'm not sure, you know, we had the Formula One Vegas Grand Prix the other night. I guess it was Saturday night into Sunday, early morning hours on the East Coast. But I'm not totally sure I understand the whole situation, but it seems like Charles was supposed to be in front of Carlos, and there were some team orders for Carlos not to fight Charles, and it didn't really go down that way. And Charles was pretty upset on the radio after. So these two guys, who will not be teammates next year, who I always thought got along okay, it seems like they're going to definitely go out maybe with a little tension. So I thought maybe we'd bring them to a bar and have a few drinks, try and settle things down.
Carlos was justifiably upset with his engineers, who may be the worst engineers for a driver all year, because every time he challenges them, he's right and they're wrong.
Yeah.
And on this particular occasion, even the announcer said that the statistics would tell you that if they had listened to him, he would have placed second instead of third.
Yeah. He's a pretty cerebral driver. I he's always been kind of the guy that I kind of gravitate towards as a favorite. Anyway, I would just like to see those two hash it out a little bit over a beer or some beverage. Yeah. So, all right, let's get back into the NFL though, because I want to ask you something about tanking. Is the NFL a sport where you can tank?
I think it's difficult because you've got so many players who, you know, you've got to ask 22 guys plus special teams to you know, not play as hard as they can. And that's difficult to do, but the Giants are showing you how to do it by starting.
Well, isn't there also a question too of like, it's such a physical game and guys really do in the NFL put their bodies on the line week in and week out, right? I mean, they really do put themselves in harm's way. And when they see a franchise or management, whatever, that's losing interest in the season, man, it's tough to ask those guys to go out there and get drilled over the middle or get their knees rolled up on when, you know, their contracts aren't guaranteed, most of them. It's right. Just really hard to keep people, you know, interested or motivated at all, isn't it?
It is, but it's about who you play too. I mean, remember before the Eagles got good again, right on the cusp of them having some really good drafts, they tanked a little at the end of the year. And I remember House and I had this little dispute about the Eagles tanking and getting a better pick than the Giants. Yeah. He was all for it. And I think that's what happens is you stop playing some of your stars, claim they're injured, you rest them for next year, and you start running vanilla offense and vanilla defense, not blitzing a lot and, you know, not running complicated schemes so the other quarterback, you know, isn't struggling to read the defense. Everyone's playing hard, but they're not coaching hard is what I believe happens.
Yeah. I think you can only get away with it if you are going to clean house too with coach and general manager.
Yeah.
Because I just think it puts a bad taste in players' mouths that, like, you know, everybody out there wants to win, right? I mean, you know, most of these guys don't have huge contracts. Most of them have a 3 to 5 year shelf life in the NFL. Their career is going to end with some injury that's going to probably afflict them the rest of their lives. I think it's really hard when a franchise just sort of abandons a year, because most of these guys only have a few opportunities.
Well, you heard the clip of Daboll, answering the press about Daniel Jones being released, and you could hear in the background the locker room, someone smashing a metal chair, and they say it was Darius Slayton, but he's clearly lost the locker room. They're really upset with management and the coaches.
Wasn't there a commercial, like an ESPN commercial years ago, where Evander Holyfield was walking through the building looking for Charlie Steiner, and he's going, "Steiner, I'm coming for you." That's all I could picture.
Yeah.
With Daboll standing at the table at the thing out there talking, and you could hear these chairs getting just destroyed. It was like,
right. And then the Giants proceed to get their asses kicked by the Bucks, and some of their star players called out the whole team afterwards.
Yeah. It's really an ugly situation in New York. I mean, that really, when you say that between McKinney, Barkley and Jones, they literally got zero. I mean, that's the kind of thing that sets a franchise back 3 to 4 years, right? I mean, that is just devastating.
And all you had to do was watch Hard Knocks to see that Joe Shane was in way over his head. He thought that was his, you know, 15 minutes of fame, and he was going to be Mr. Congenial and, you know, show up Saquon. I mean, what kind of a GM has the cameras rolling for conversations like that?
Yeah, right.
The guy you're trying to hold on to. I mean, have a little discretion and smarts.
Yeah.
I mean, the next Saquon is going to be like, "I'm not talking to you. Talk to my agent."
Well, let's set up the playoff picture a little bit here. And then we want to talk about some of these teams. So here's what we got in the AFC. All right. This is if the season ended today. We've got the one seed would be the Chiefs. The Bills would be 2, the Steelers 3, the Chargers 4, Ravens 5, Texans and Broncos tied for 6. So I think right now, I think all of those teams would be in, though, because I guess you get 7 teams in, the top seed gets a bye. So those are the teams. And then if you want to go into the bubble in the AFC, you got really the Dolphins, Colts, and Bengals are probably and even the Bengals, it's pushing a little bit to say they're in the mix. Mm-hmm. But so of those teams, tell me one that you're interested in and one that you're sort of disappointed in.
Well, I think the Texans are on a downward spiral, and I'm disappointed in where they
are. That's what I would have said too.
Yeah. And I don't think the Steelers are going to go very far because Russell Wilson showed against the Browns that he's just not the man to lead them far into the playoffs. So I'm disappointed in those two teams. I'm really interested in seeing the turnaround going on in for the Chargers and the Broncos. And it shows what good coaching can do to a team. The Chargers play the Ravens tonight. That's going to tell us a lot about both teams in the Harbaugh Bowl. But I think
if the Ravens lose this game, they got to start worrying about making the playoffs.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, they were looking like a Super Bowl candidate, and I don't know. I mean, they're still in a pretty good spot, but if they lose tonight, you know, things start tightening up a little bit around them.
But of all of the AFC playoff teams you just rattled off, the two that I said I was disappointed in are the two that had unexpected losses this week. I mean, who would have picked the Browns to beat the Steelers or the Titans to beat the Texans?
Yeah.
You know, you have to beat the bad, like you said earlier about the Commanders, you have to beat the bad teams to be a good team. You can't just, you just can't be upsetting the good teams. And that unfortunately happened to the Commanders too. And when we get to the NFC, they should have won that game. It was an easy game for them to win, and they had it. They just blew it.
They blew it. Yep. Yep. All right. So let's see. And I just want to make sure that I've got this heat up correctly here. Let's see. So what are these records? Are the Chiefs are 10-1, right?
Correct.
Bills are they
11-2?
Yeah. Okay. So those are current records. All right. So then in the NFC side, you've got the Lions at 1, the Eagles at 2. And I'm not sure anything matters after that, but you got the Vikings, Packers, Commanders, Seahawks, Falcons, Cardinals. Seahawks, Falcons, Cardinals are all tied with the same record, and two, as it stands, two of those three get in. And then
right now it would be the Seahawks over the Cardinals because they beat them.
That's right, and I think the Falcons are over the Cardinals too. Although I guess a lot of that can change. And then in the punt sort of, you got the Bucks and the Niners and the Rams.
Right.
So, of that group, who are you liking and who are you disappointed in?
Well, the Lions and the Eagles. Well, I think the cream of the crop and it are the Lions and the Eagles, and I still like the Packers and the Vikings. The question is going to be, can the Packers or the Vikings knock off either of the two front runners?
Yeah,
I'm very disappointed in the Falcons. They started out strong, and now Kirk Cousins just looks terrible. They were an offensive juggernaut early in the season, and now they're awful. So they're going to be one and out. The Seahawks are playing well. I think the Commanders are a better team than the Seahawks, but very disappointing loss to the Cowboys there. I mean, the kicker, my God, what in the world happened with two missed?
Well, you know, he had been out. He missed the last two games with injury, and I sort of wonder if they didn't need to bring him back when they did. I mean, I don't know. He didn't blame his injury or anything like that. But man, the guy that they had that they brought in while he was out those two games hadn't missed a kick. Yeah. So I'm not really sure what was going on there. That was just
the other thing is I think that was Cliff Kingsbury's worst game as a Commander. The play call is really weird.
It didn't look like, you know, I was there. It's always a little harder when you're at the game to have some perspective, but it just felt like the running game had nothing. Now, Brian Robinson got hurt on the first carry of the game. He came back in at some point and tried to go.
Eckler had a concussion.
Eckler might have died. I mean, he was completely unconscious at one point. So the running game didn't seem like anything was there. Parsons is still an animal. I mean, he's just a disruptor of everything. And, you know, look, I've been saying it's a lot of fun. It's a lot better vibe in DC. Now losing three in a row takes a little shine off of that. But I never thought this team would be a playoff team this year. I thought there were too many holes. They still may be able to get in. They have a pretty favorable schedule the rest of the way. But, you know, the whole thing here is getting Jaden at 17 games under his belt, and then going out and spending a bunch of money next year. And look, we still haven't seen Lattimore play. And I think when they get Lattimore at the corner, it's going to change the defense a little bit, because it's just going to take such a pressure off of the corners and the secondary. So,
well, did you, you know, when the game was sort of on the line, did it not seem to you like there were three plays in a row called that were the exact same pass play with Jaden rolling out to the right, nobody open, and he just runs it out of bounds? Three plays in a row.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the first series, he but for a matter of inches, he has Terry McLaurin for a bomb for a touchdown, and they never went long again after that.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was really weird. I agree. It was a strange game, and it just felt like about halfway through the second quarter, you felt like this is not gonna be a good day. You know, just like the game should have been 21-0, and it was 3-0, and you just can't let teams hang around like that.
Right.
I gotta tell you though, and I want to mention them as a disappointing team because of the talent, but the Niners, although I think I said at the beginning of the season, I was a little worried about them having a downfall after the Super Bowl last year, the loss. You know, you play a lot more football than a lot of other guys do. Does your body recover? Then you got the hangover of you know, you lost the game, but you're still you know, a superstar team. It just seemed like things were conspiring to go against them this year, and here we are. And then you've got a bunch of injuries, obviously.
What happened? What's the deal with Trent Williams' injury?
I don't know. What is the deal? I didn't hear about that.
I mean, he's been out for a couple games now, and they clearly miss him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing about the NFL is that, you know, winning cures everything. It really is a week to week league, which, you know, all the cliches, but I think it's true. I mean, one of these teams gets a good win and they could be off and running. You just need a little momentum on your side for things to get going. But man, the Lions just look like a full team. They're the complete picture, right?
They are. And I think the Eagles are starting to play like they can contend with the Lions. They didn't look like that earlier in the year, but they do now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, geez, Barkley is just, I mean, he is just so good.
He's amazing. And A.J. Brown looks healthy again, too.
Yeah.
But Devonta Smith healthy, and, you know, look out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch that, because I really do think, I mean, I guess, look, the Packers could, you know, the Packers could be a little bit of a problem for the Eagles or the Lions. I don't really see the Vikings just because of the quarterback play. I don't know. I don't see that they could get past Lions or Eagles, but the Packers are an interesting matchup. So
they are, and they and the Vikings have some elite players. Vikings have elite wide receivers and running back, and Packers, I would say, quarterback, running back, and some well above average wide receivers.
I think we've seen some of the posts. I don't remember. We were sharing these on a text chain earlier today, but I guess what do we have? So here, where is this thing? Okay, so the Giants let Saquon leave. The Titans let King Henry leave. The Raiders let Josh Jacobs leave. The teams are those teams that let those guys walk. Are 7-26 this year.
Yep.
And the teams that picked them up are 24-9.
Don't forget, so, the year before that, the Titans let A.J. Brown go.
Right.
And, right. You know, I mean, it just, you can't give away your superstars for very little in return or nothing the way the Giants have done it and the Titans.
Yeah.
And expect them to go. You just can't do it.
Yep. So, all right. Well, let's, anything else on the NFL?
Well, just the opposite side of that coin is Howie Roseman for the Eagles picks up AJ Brown, picks up, Saquon. And then he's turned, you remember Mekhi Becton for the, Jets. he was like a flop. He was, he was a failure as a tackle. Huge dude. All kinds of expectations. I think he was in the top five the year he came out. And so the Eagles take him and turn him into a guard. So now they have this monstrous guard and are running, you know, Saquon runs behind him most of these plays.
Yeah.
And everything they do turns to gold these days. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Man, I mean, how do you let AJ Brown and Saquon go? That is just, that's hard. That's annoying because the Eagles are in our division.
Yeah. I know. It's really annoying when Saquon does that for the Eagles and for my opponent in fantasy football last night.
Oh.
I went into that game 99% favored, and then Saquon scored 45 points.
Oh, my God. Oh. That's really insult injury.
Yeah.
That hurts. All right. Well, we got to do our Plaxicos. You have those teed up?
I do. So last week, in the order we drafted, I picked the Steelers -3.5 against the Browns and lost, making my record 8-4. House, who was 7-4 at the time, picked the Texans against the Titans and lost. So he's 7-5. He now drops down to third place behind Milk, who picked the Broncos -5.5 against the Raiders, and the Broncos won by 10. So Milk is now 7-4-1, and Pope and House are 7-5. Pope and Milk had the only two wins last week. Pope picked the Lions -7.5 at the Colts, and you picked the Cardinals -1 at Seattle, and Seattle won that game. So you have dropped to 4-8, which means you get to go first.
All right. Well, I still don't really like. I don't like any of these games this week, but I think I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to take the Bucks, giving 6 to the Panthers.
Okay. Did you get any picks from Milk or Pope?
Well, I did. Let's see. We got Thanksgiving games. Wait a minute. I might amend here. Hold on a second. Nah, I'm gonna stick with my pick. Okay. I got Milk's pick. Milk has gone with, let me just double check this and make sure I'm not getting it wrong. Milk has taken the Dallas Cowboys -4.
I was gonna do that
against your Giants.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I was gonna pick that. All right. And now House picked the Packers -3 against the Dolphins. So we don't have Pope's pick, huh?
I don't think we'll have to get that later. Pick from Pope, yeah.
All right. Now that the Cowboys are off the table, I'm going to take the Chargers -1.5 against the Falcons.
Okay, I like that one. That's a good one. All right, anything else on the NFL?
That's it.
All right, we'll keep watching this playoff picture. Things are starting to get interesting. What do you think about the NBA? Anything worth talking about at this point?
You know, my initial reaction is it's too soon to say, except doesn't seem to be too soon to say that Philadelphia is in trouble. I mean, they're number 14 in the East. The East has exactly 4 teams with a winning record. While the West has 10 teams with a winning record. The East is in trouble, you know, this year. A lot of good teams are in trouble, and it's the weaker of the two divisions, and yet the Philly is just not winning games. On the other hand, Cleveland is 17-1, which seems to me to be about 2 years later than we thought this would happen. You know, 2 years ago, they looked really good.
Yeah.
This young talent. They played great together in the playoffs. They wound up getting Mitchell, and then they got spanked by the Celtics and didn't seem to recover after that. But this year, they came out strong. The other big news in the East is Porzingis is coming back tonight in the Celtics game against the Clippers from a foot injury.
The interesting thing about the East is, because you're right, that these teams, there's nobody has a good record. But it's still, other than the Sixers, it still looks like the people are in the right spots where you would have expected them to be. You know what I mean? Like, you got the, well, Cleveland's a little surprised being 17-1, but the Celtics, Orlando was a hot pick. The Knicks were up there. The Heat are always in it. The Bucks.
The Heat are always slow starters, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the
Bucks. Milwaukee looks a little old and slow this year to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think their window might have closed. They got their title, but their window might be closed at this point. But man, what is the story with the Sixers? What is the problem?
It's hard to say. I mean, Joel Embiid made a lot of noise after the Olympics about how he really could see how the superstars trained like madmen and showed up to camp in great shape, and he was going to do that, and he was going to be different this year. And then he shows up hurt and, you know, on time management.
Yeah.
And just looks like shit this season so far. To the point where apparently they had a, you know, players only meeting about it. And shit got out of the locker room that wasn't good.
Yeah, he wasn't real happy about that.
No.
But they've got a locker room problem. Yeah. And
coach seems like he'd rather be somewhere else already.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good pretty coach. Good coach, too, right?
Really good coach. Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I cannot believe that the Wizards have only one less win than the Sixers at this point in the season. So, stay away from our draft pick.
The Sixers are still at least the third most talented team in the East, and they're not even coming close to playing like
it. Yeah. Well, and then look over in the West. I mean, it's like the old man reunion, right? Like the Golden State Warriors, they're on top, and then the Lakers are right there in the middle of everything.
You look at Golden State's record, 12-4, and you think, wow, they must have added some really strong young talent to that team that I didn't know about. And then I looked at their roster today. It's the same roster.
It's the same team.
Clay.
Right. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it. They're just playing well together.
Fountain of youth. And I don't know. I haven't watched enough to know, but like the Lakers, I mean, is JJ Redick just doing that good of a job?
I don't know. He may be. I mean, I think he's made the focus of the team AD and not LeBron.
Right.
And LeBron seems to have bought into it and he's okay with it. And
yeah,
that's what should have happened a year or two ago. And, you know, AD has really responded. The other thing is, I mean, it just shows you what coaching matters. And Houston, after years of accumulating top talent and still losing and losing badly, now they're in what, year two of MA Doka? Is that it?
Now
they're 12-6 to start the year. He's a damn good coach.
Yeah.
It's too bad he literally fucked his way out of Boston, but he's a damn good coach and it's starting to show.
Yeah. It's like these guys are, you know, you got to be good at X's and O's, but you've also got to be good at massaging egos. And if you can do both, then that's something that then you're going to do a good job in the NBA.
But he's also, stern. He's a bit of a taskmaster.
Yeah.
Sort of like Tibbs in New York. But I think the players buy into it eventually. And you get the right players who buy into it, then you really have something going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we should mention Pop.
Yeah.
That he's I don't know if we mentioned it last week. Did we know what had happened last week when we talked?
Well, he had a mini stroke.
Yeah. I guess maybe Pope mentioned it at the end or something, but I just couldn't remember if we mentioned it, that we knew he had had a stroke at the time we recorded last. So,
is he bad?
All right. I don't think he's back yet.
Because San Antonio's 9-8.
Yeah, they're hanging in there,
they
right?
They would be in fifth place in the East.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on the NBA. Well, we're not really the college football strength of this show. We thought we'd have Milk here. Milk's letting us down a little bit. He was supposed to bomb in here, but let's at least just touch on this. Here's the playoff picture in college football. So you've got the one seed right now is Oregon. Texas is 2. Miami 3. Well, I don't know if these are the seeds. Now I'm all confused because Boise State is got the 4 seed in the tournament because of how they set this up. So those teams all get byes. And then the 5 seed is Ohio State. 6 is Penn State. 7 is Indiana. 8 Notre Dame, 9 Alabama, 10 Ole Miss, 11 Georgia, and 12 BYU. So that's how it shakes out right now. I guess Boise State, as the 4th highest ranked conference champion, gets the 4 seed. So even though they're not, I think they're ranked 12 in the country, but because they're the highest, they're going to be a conference champion. They get the 4 seed and get a bye. So with that, I don't know. Interesting. Notre Dame is interesting. They're plowing through people right now. And I know they're always playoff, fool's gold. But boy, I kind of feel like they'd smash Alabama this year if Alabama was in there.
Maybe. It'd be interesting to see. Alabama, talking about how coaching matters. During the Saban era, when there were only 4 playoff teams, Alabama made the 4 8 out of 10 years that Saban was the coach. This year, they're looking like they're not going to make the 12 team
play yeah.
for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge drop-off for them.
Yeah. Well, here's the big game of the week. Coming up, and this is sent in by Pope. Wanted to make sure we didn't screw everything up on college football without him here. But Texas A&M versus Texas this Saturday is the most expensive regular season football ticket on record. The current price to get in right now is $741 with an average price of almost $1,100 for this game. First time the two teams are playing since 2011 when I guess the Aggies went to the SEC. So you've got 2 high-ranked teams, and I guess the winner goes to the SEC championship game. Is that right?
Maybe.
I think that's right. I think that's how the sides work out. So big game this weekend.
What about Tennessee?
Well, they're on the other side. They're in the East, right?
I see. Okay.
So, I mean, who knows? There's 25 teams in the SEC now, right?
Yeah.
So – and, University of Alaska plays in the Atlantic Coast Conference, I think, last time I checked. So who knows? But, the other teams, I guess the ones that are looking on the outside looking in are SMU, I think, because they're not in it right now. And Tulane. Tulane's got a shot if things break the right way. So I'd be happy to see Tulane in the playoff. That'd be good.
They've been consistent year after year.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be the
ton of games.
That'd be the one.
So, Texas A&M have a bad loss last week?
Oh man, did they? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't follow this.
They lost to 5-6 Auburn.
Yeah,
43-41. So,
yeah,
I don't know why that's such a huge game right now.
Well, I don't know either. I guess we'll have to have our college football.
The other really bad loss was Colorado losing to Kansas and blowing. If it weren't for BYU losing, they would have blown any chance of the Big 12 title. Even now it looks bad. But
so do you think at this point, are we at the point now where Pope has completely transformed over to an SMU fan now, or is he still holding on to Bama a little bit.
You know, I gave the SMQBs the embroidered belts that year with your
cup. Oh, yeah, yeah, I have mine, yeah.
And I have never seen Pope wear his SMU belt more than he has this year.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't, you know, he talks about Alabama right now the way he talks about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He's ready to jump ship on both of those teams.
I know. It could be. I mean, if SMU gets into the playoff, it might be a long time before we hear him say Roll Tide again.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else on college football?
Nope.
All right.
Well, how about Florida? You have to mention Florida.
Oh, yeah. The Gators with a big win, right?
Yeah. Big news for Milk.
Yeah, their rumor is that they're going to lock up their coach Napier for like a four to six year extension and keep him around for a while because he's doing such a good job with the team.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations, Milk. You found your future. You found your coach. Don't call it a comeback. All right. You had a punch?
I do not have a punch, but you do.
Oh, I got a few. All right. First of all, I'm going to make this a little Homer punch. First of all, though, the Hall of Fame came out with their, you know, their list of people who are eligible to go in this year. And they, you know, they have all these different committees. I guess they have like the guys who are first time eligible. But then at some point, you can stay on like the old timers list, right? You can get in. It's a little harder to get in. There are a couple people who are not in the Hall of Fame from the Redskins football team. Commanders, I guess these are probably all Redskins. How is Brian Mitchell not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, I don't know if it's still the
name
case.
A bunch of them. Brian Mitchell, Joe Jacoby. How's he not in the Hall of Fame?
How's Joe? And how about London Fletcher?
Yeah.
If you put London Fletcher's stats next to what's his name from the Ravens, Ray Lewis, their statistics are almost identical. And if anything, London Fletcher has the better numbers on him. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? And then somebody said, is it true that Doug Williams is not in the Hall of Fame?
Crazy.
I mean, bananas. Come on, NFL. Get it together. I mean, these Brian Mitchell might have the most all-purpose yards in the history of the NFL. He did for a long time. If he doesn't have it right now, he's darn close. I mean, that guy's not in the Hall of Fame. Come on, NFL. You're getting a punch. Get it together.
How about Art Monk?
Yeah, Monk is in. All right, then House sent a punch in, and this one's in his honor. He is punching the University of Cincinnati Bearcats, who have sent a cease and desist letter to Cheetah Middle School for using the Bearcat logo and nickname. So the University of Cincinnati is sending cease and desist letters to middle schools for using their logo. Guys, you're getting punched. Chill the fuck out. Okay. First of all, you're University of Cincinnati. It's not like, you know, you're not SMU or something. So, you know, chill out, guys. That's a little much. And then the last one that I've got, another punch here. Did you see these students?
By the way, the Bearcat is not even native to North America, let alone Cincinnati. It's right. It's native to South and Southwest Asia.
Yeah, come on, Cincy. Get it together, guys. All right. And then, did you see the students rushing the field at these two games? Arizona State and BYU. The students were all over the field, and it turned out there was 1 second left, and they had to get everybody off of the field to throw the last pass. And then the Oklahoma-Alabama game. Same thing. Oklahoma, I guess they rushed the field early or something. I don't know. I mean, it's just like when you're interfering with the game, you know, you get it together, right? I mean, act like you've been there before. You don't have to rush the field every time you win, you beat your rival or have a good win. I mean, Oklahoma's got a pretty storied history. Do you need to take the goalpost down after you beat Alabama? I don't know. I think they should get punched.
Yeah, it's bedlam anyway. You can't have that.
Yeah, it's just, and then when you got to get them off the field, it's just bad news for the player. Somebody's going to get hurt. So punches galore today. How about a lasso?
Barbecue sauce. Ah!
I got nothing.
You got nothing. All right. Well, I don't have the one, but I've got two that were called in from our abroad reporters. Pope had a nice story where he caught a text message or letter that Roger Federer sent out on Ek, congratulating Rafa on his career and talking about, you know, what a joy it was to battle him and to be, you know, right next to him for most of his playing time too. And just, you know, how special it was for him. They got to be, there's such a mutual respect and closeness that Federer's last match was a doubles match where he played with Rafa. And it was just a really classy, warm sort of note to put out there. And so that was Pope's lasso for Federer. And then, House wanted us to give a lasso to Columbia University, their first Ivy League title in 67 years. So I guess a lasso for Columbia. Good to see them in the news doing something positive, I guess. But that was a lasso from House to the Ivy League champ Columbia football team. Buzzer beaters. You got a buzzer?
I do. The Juan Soto sweepstakes are supposedly down to four teams.
Okay.
The Red Sox, Blue Jays, Mets, and Yankees.
Blue Jays.
I'm kind of surprised to see the Blue Jays and the Red Sox in there, but...
And not the Dodgers.
Not
interesting.
The Dodgers, right? The Dodgers were early suitors, and he must have said no.
Well, he spent some time on the West Coast. I'd like to see him in Washington. It's not going to happen. Just too much money, and we have, you know, young talent that in the outfield. That's where we don't need to fill. But man, watching him in the World Series and in pinstripes, that's where he belongs. I think he's got to stay there. I would not want to see him. I don't know. The Mets fans won't appreciate this, but it would feel like he's stepping down a level to go from the Yankees to the Mets. So keep that guy in pinstripe if he's not going to be in Washington.
Yeah, and I think the Red Sox are a couple of years away from being good again.
Yeah. And just, you know, for fuck's sake, do not let him go to the Phillies. I mean, do not let him go to the Phillies. That'll ruin my life. That'll be terrible. So, all right. Any other buzzers from you?
No.
Well, I just want to call out, congratulate the man over my shoulder, Max Verstappen, locked up his fourth consecutive world championship. Given how tight things have been this year in races, it's a little surprising that with two races to go, he's locked it up already, because it really felt like for a big chunk of the season, he was being hunted and was not winning. But I guess he won seven of the first 10 races, and that just put him in such a lead.
Yeah.
Now, the constructors is definitely a different situation and pretty tight between McLaren and Ferrari. So the constructors championship, I think, is still wide open. But congratulations to Max Verstappen. I think it's like him and like Lewis and Sebastian Vettel and Alain Prost are the only ones who have won.
Yeah.
Or I might be forgetting one
like
person.
The thing he had going for him after that big start was the parity at the top. I mean, any given race, Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, or Red Bull could win.
Yeah.
And so Max piled up all those early wins, and Norris tried to, but one week Piastri's teammate took it from him. Another week, Russell and Hamilton. I think Leclerc got one. Sainz got one.
Leclerc won too. You know, we had some really interesting wins this year. We had Lewis Hamilton winning at Silverstone, right? the British driver getting a big win in his last season with Mercedes at his home circuit. That was a warm fuzzy. And then Charles Leclerc had two warm fuzzy wins, winning both at Monaco and then at Monza. So you know, you're a Ferrari driver and you win at Monza. That's not going to be forgotten. So those are two, you know, those three wins were kind of notable this year for like the warm fuzzy angle of who
for the likely way. I do not understand why Sainz had a hard time finding a seat on a team that was better than Williams. I mean, why wouldn't Mercedes take him? That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. I think he's a really good driver. I guess the other news that we have to report from F1 as a buzzer beater is the announcement that there's going to be an 11th team on the grid starting in 26. It's going to be a GM Cadillac team. So what I wasn't clear on originally, that was an Andretti bid with GM or with Cadillac. And I don't see Andretti involved in it now. I'm not sure if he's totally out, but it's definitely does not include his name in any of the announcements I've seen. So we're going to have an 11th team on the grid. So that'll be interesting to see who ends up filling those seats when they start from scratch. So maybe a Valtteri Bottas, who doesn't have a seat for next year, or a Joe Grandjean, who doesn't have.
Who took Bottas' seat?
Who did take his seat? I think they have two young guys coming up for, isn't that going to be Audi next year?
Right.
Let's see, who is it? It's Gabriel Bortoleto and Nico Hülkenberg. Those are the two drivers there. So I guess I'm not sure which one's taking Bottas versus Joe's, but those are the two drivers next year. So,
well, I did have one more. The South Carolina women's basketball team just had their 43-game win streak broken by UCLA women, who are number one in the country for the first time ever. So really great job by South Carolina putting together this dynasty. Doesn't mean the season's over, but 43 games is a lot of wins. And also hats off to Gino Auriemma. We missed that last week for becoming the all-time winningest women's basketball coach.
Yeah. And I guess a quick shout out too to the Orlando Pride, who won the National Women's Soccer League title on Saturday night, defeating my Washington Spirit 1-0.
No longer the district of champions.
I know. All right. You got anything else?
That's it.
All right. Have a good week.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.